This podcast is sponsored by Canaccord Genuity Wealth Management, award-winning wealth managers who go above and beyond to support and guide you. Visit candowealth.com to start building your wealth with confidence.
Hello and welcome to a special Saturday edition of Coffee House Shots. I'm Katie Balls and I'm joined by James Forsyth and Fraser Nelson. We're all just back from Conservative Party conference, and while there we noticed a certain level of excitement when one cabinet minister entered a room. This is the rise of trust mania. Fraser, in your Telegraph column this week, you talk about Liz Truss, the new foreign secretary, and she's creating a bit of a buzz. What are you picking up?
Well, there was a moment when we did our live Coffee House Shots recording in conference where Frank Luntz decided to do a poll of the audience there. And I was really surprised to see Liz Truss emerge as their favourite for the next Tory leader. And ever since then, I went around conference basically asking audiences similar things, doing my research, and it all fitted into place. You could tell where Liz Truss was speaking, not because you had to have a look at what room she was in, but you just looked around for the biggest cues on the way in and the biggest smiles on the way out. She's created this sense of excitement, which reminds me very much of the excitement that Boris Johnson used to create when he was in party conference. He used to come in and sort of entertain, cause mayhem. People went along just to be lifted up, to be entertained by him, not because they necessarily cared about what he had to say about the economy or anything like that. And Liz Truss is having the same effect. I spoke to some other MPs who were saying they were struck that how, you know, the Sajid Javid, even the Rishi Sunak audiences were not quite as large, not quite as excitable as the Liz Truss audiences. And then if you look at the Conservative Home polls, they poll Tory party members regularly. Liz Truss has topped these polls for quite some time. I think she was, back in January, she was first topping it. So perhaps I'm just catching up with the reality that amongst Tory party members, they see in her a kind of unsullied Tory, as it were, because she hasn't had to make compromises in the same way that Rishi Sunak has. Rishi Sunak is probably a low-tax Tory, but he's ended up increasing taxes because he's had to. Liz Truss has not had to make any of those difficult decisions, but as a result, she has now become something a bit more than a Tory mascot. She's a kind of morale raiser-in-chief, a job which until recently had fallen to Boris Johnson.
James, as Fraser touched on, Liz Truss has been a favourite amongst the grassroots for quite some time now. I think her international trade brief helped with that. It's a very positive job in terms of what you're announcing compared to something like DWP. But do you think her promotion to a great office of state means that she's now taken much more seriously as a potential leadership contender one day?
Yeah, I mean, obviously, anyone who is foreign secretary is a contender for the top job because, you know, that she is obviously in the next rung down. And I think the interesting question is, her skill as International Trade Secretary was to be relentlessly positive, upbeat about Britain. I mean, doing that job enabled her to kind of wash off any kind of taint of Remain. You know, you wouldn't have thought that a cabinet minister who campaigned for Remain would be the grassroots favourite. But because she was so positive about the opportunities of Brexit in that brief, I don't think most Tory members would think of her as a Remainer. And I think she is going to take the same kind of approach to the Foreign Office job. You know, she is full of, you know, the, talking about a network of freedom, very upbeat, positive. We're, you know, the UK's Indo-Pacific tilt, you know, move to the bit of the world which is growing fast, is becoming the most strategically important place. I mean, the danger for her, as one of her cabinet colleagues said to me when she got the job, is that as International Trade Secretary, you essentially get to choose which countries you engage with. And so she chose the countries that the UK was going to most likely to get a trade deal with. As Dominic Raab can tell you to his cost, as Foreign Secretary, you know, the crises choose you rather than you choosing the countries that you want to deal with. That is perhaps the biggest challenge to her. But I think what is also true is that she has a kind of, in another kind of similarity with Boris Johnson, she has a sense, a kind of connection with people that Tory members feel that she's very approachable. She might be Foreign Secretary, but that doesn't stop her taking kind of young Tory activists dancing. She has developed a very approachable vibe, which I think does stand her in good stead. And I think one of the intriguing things, as Fraser says, is if this autumn gets to be really tough and Boris Johnson has to adopt a kind of more downbeat tone, there is now someone, you know, ready to be the Tory party's optimist in chief.
And Fraser, in your column, you also detail going into the specifics on why it is that this trust is now being talked up in a way that Rishi Sunak has for so long. But when it comes to the role of foreign secretary, it does mean that you are away a lot of the time. It's harder to get into those domestic debates. And Liz Truss is someone who's often the minister speaking at these various think tanks, rallying the troops. So do you think she's going to find it harder to keep that connection with voters if she is focusing on foreign affairs?
Well, as Boris Johnson knows to his cost, you can be a very effervescent, larger-than-life character and be pushed to the sidelines when you're foreign secretary. It means you're out of the country a lot, you barely ever intervene in domestic affairs, and Boris Johnson almost slid into obscurity, bizarrely, even without great office of state. That's the paradox of a foreign secretary, even though it's technically one of the top four jobs. On a practical basis, it's pretty low profile, unless there's a war or some kind of overseas conflagration. But I've got a feeling that Liz Truss has got a knack of keeping herself in the domestic debate. She's quite a good user of social media. She's a bit of an Instagram queen, and she doesn't need much advice on how to make a splash. So if she can keep her oar in using her own sort of methods, then I think she could stay inside the domestic debate. But of course, if the bad side of being foreign secretary is being removed from the day-to-day battles of domestic world, there's a good side as well. Rishi Sunak might have to raise taxes yet again. Boris Johnson doesn't rule it out when you ask him. Priti Patel will have all sorts of difficulties trying to keep the boats landings stopping over the channel. You can look at all the cabinet positions and see lots of trouble ahead for all of them, apart from Liz Truss. It's difficult to see what can go that wrong as foreign secretary. That's, in a way, deliberate by Boris Johnson, because he likes her. He has been the one who, first of all, rewarded her for supporting him quite early. He always does that, Boris. Look at Ben Wallace. People like that who backed Boris early tend to be given decent jobs. And he has kept her out of harm's way because he recognises the need for a blonde booster like him. I think he quite likes her vibe, even if she can be quite caustic and take him on now and again. So she is in a pretty good position because Boris has put her in a good position. Although some around Boris wonder if he's put her in a bit too good a position. There was this moment when they both travelled to New York, they're coming off the plane, and she kind of hang back a little bit and then walks down the stairs by herself onto the red carpet, and she cuts quite a convincing figure there. And one of those close to Boris was saying, look, these are the sort of photos that are usually reserved for a prime minister. Here she is, absolutely loving the red carpet look. And the funny thing is, Rishi Sunak hated being regarded as the heir apparent. He's still the bookmaker's favourite. But if a spotlight would move from Rishi onto Liz Truss, I think that would suit both of them. I think Liz Truss in particular would lap up this new status.
And James, do you think there is a risk that Boris Johnson starts to feel as though his foreign secretary is overshadowing him? We look at that trip to New York and Liz Truss got a lot of attention. So for now, we know that the Prime Minister likes the fact that Liz is an optimist. She's going to talk up Britain. But could that start to change?
I think that the interesting question is how much more... I mean, one of the reasons Liz Truss will remain as a kind of player in the domestic political scene, even though she's foreign secretary, is because she has a kind of set of distinct ideological views. We know that she was one of only three cabinet members to oppose the national insurance increase. Her argument was, look, why don't we bet that growth will take care of this, and in the meantime, borrowing can take the load. Now, that is the kind of position that Boris Johnson used to take, and it is a kind of cakeist position. Let's have the extra NHS spending, but with no tax rises. She's also always been one of those Tories who's a bit more confident in the culture wars. She's still the Minister for Women and Equalities, and she's very comfortable expressing her views on, you know, trans rights and all those kind of issues. So I think that her distinct ideological position on the more libertarian, when it comes to fiscal policy, more Reaganite wing of the Tory party, means that I think that there is always going to be a kind of place for her. I think it was very telling at conferences, as you were saying, Katie, that, you know, who was the star guest at all the more libertarian think tank drinks dudes, the kind of more kind of relaxed kind of rallying things rather than more kind of heavy stuff. Always Liz Truss. And I think that there is a kind of popularity that she has among the more libertarian part of the party that will mean that she'll be a player in domestic politics. And I think the challenge is that I don't think Liz Truss you know, she's not the type to hide her light under a bushel. And, you know, we've talked about this on this podcast before. You know, Boris Johnson's relationship with the Tory party is very transactional. I think there is, in some ways, a greater level of ideological affection for Liz Truss.
So, Fraser, I suppose just finally, if you had to place a bet, you've obviously had Frank Luntz's research to help you on your own as to who could be the next eventual leader of the Tory party. We know Boris Johnson is secure in his position, very much so for now. But is it Rishi? Is it Liz Truss? Is it someone we haven't yet heard of? Where's your money?
Right now, I'd say Rishi Sunak, and I'll tell you why. It's not because I think Liz Truss is a fundamentally unserious politician. Lots of her colleagues do see her that way. They can't work out how she can be taken seriously while she walks about quoting Destiny's Child in her speeches rather than, say, Homer, like the Prime Minister, or Thatcher. But I think she's quite right to do it that way. I mean, first off, there's a lot of wisdom in Destiny's Child lyrics. At The Spectator, we've recruited our researchers for something like 10 years now by asking candidates to find socioeconomic support for any two given Destiny's Child lyrics. That has led to some really thoughtful analysis about the contemporary problems of our time, many of them captured perfectly well by Beyoncé and Destiny's Child. The other point is that Liz Truss realises that you don't need to walk around with a copy of Hayek under your arm to be taken seriously. People like mould-breaking politicians. So those who defy the conventional mould do have an advantage nowadays. Her disadvantage is having never run a serious government department. She was Trade Secretary, that's good fun. Foreign Secretary, a serious job. But you'd need to run a big spending department. Boris Johnson, perhaps you can say, went from Foreign Secretary to Prime Minister, but before that, he had run London, the City of London. He was mayor, one of the biggest jobs in Europe of that nature. So he had been tested in a serious administrative role. Liz Truss hasn't been tested in that way until she is. I don't really see her as a serious candidate to succeed Boris Johnson, who, by the way, is not going anywhere at all. It's nice for her to be seen to be the heir apparent, this little game that people play in Westminster. This spotlight for a long time was on Rishi Sunak, now it's on her. I suspect she will revel in that spotlight, as I hope she does, because it might not be on her for very long.
Thank you, Fraser. Thank you, James. And while I have you here, I'm going to put a plug for my own podcast, the Women with Balls podcast, because this week I've spoken to Deanna Davison. She's one of the Red Wall MPs for Bishop Auckland, and she talks about Liz Truss, what the pair have in common when it comes to social media, and the criticism that can get you from your own colleagues. So to listen to that, just go to www.spectator.co.uk/balls, or find it on the iTunes store. I know you can do it. I depend on you.